looking at the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2 speaks about this whole idea of faith. And this idea that a person's faith without works is dead. Now, all through history, there's been this contrast, there's been this tension, if you will, because some of the early reformers believed that salvation could be attained by your good works, by the good deeds that you accomplish. And then along comes a gentleman by the name of Martin Luther in the early 1500s, and he comes to the conclusion and starts preaching that the righteous shall live by faith. All of a sudden, there appears to be a disconnect. And there are those who say, well, there are those who say that it's your good works that will get you into heaven, at least before the Reformation began. That was the idea. And that idea was perpetrated through the Roman Catholic Church. And Martin Luther comes and says, no, faith is a free gift. Faith is God's doing. It's His gift to us. And so, with that little bit of a historical background, as we read James chapter 2, and then as we read perhaps Hebrews chapter 11, we see that there's almost a contradiction here, but it's really not a contradiction, because both come together. Faith without works is dead, that's true. And the righteous shall live by faith, that is true. And so the onus is upon believers in Christ today to live out their faith. And the question is, how do we do that? And that's why we're taking a couple of Sundays and talking about God's power to us through faith. It's a simple fact that sometimes life feels good and sometimes it doesn't. We all know that, and we've been through that, we experience it. And maybe we're even experiencing it today. And it pretty much goes without saying that life is better when it feels good. We live in a feel-good society. Everybody wants you to feel good. Everything is about feeling better about yourself. You can even go to churches and find churches that are feel-good churches. That will make you feel good from the moment you walk in to the moment you leave. And you can find all kinds of self-help ideas as to how to improve your life. Well, I'm all in favor of that. I think everybody is. But I believe, for the most part, a lot of people are missing the point. And they're missing this whole idea of faith and what it really is getting at. As we talked about last week, there are times when, feeling good doesn't happen. There are times when what I called last week vacancies, when these vacancies take place in our lives, then it's a time when our needs that are not being automatically met and problems aren't being solved. And so all of us have those issues. All of us have those problems. All of us have those needs. All of us have those vacancies that keep showing up. These situations, I believe, are a divine invitation to put our faith into action. To put them into action. They are God-ordained opportunities to experience God's overcoming power in our lives. And I believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or think, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians and also in Colossians. He responds to our faith. He cares about our needs. And He wants to meet those needs, but it is our faith that moves Him to action. It is our trust in Him that moves Him into action. He cares about your wants. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But it is your faith that opens, I believe, the hand of God. Now, there are those, and I've mentioned this many times, there are those who are called prosperity preachers who believe all you need is to give money and your faith issues, your faith problems, will be automatically solved. There are those out there. There are many, I believe, who are false teachers and false prophets and not proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But for this reason, we can only go as far in life as our faith is strong enough to take us. And I believe that as we consider this whole idea of faith, all of us have this desire to be taken a long distance, to go a long distance. And we can only go as far in life as far as our faith is strong enough to take us. And this is what we saw last week in the first message of this series, God's Power to You. And so we're talking about faith, is how to tap into its potential, how to live it out, how to recognize what is of God and what is not of God. What we'll see in this message, even this morning, is that faith is the key that unlocks God's power in our lives. And that's why I mentioned this morning specifically that most of us have potential in our lives that we don't even know about, that we don't even understand. We have abilities and gifts that have not been brought to the surface yet. And even though we may be older in life, we still have those potentials that God can take and use to His glory and honor. And I think especially this morning of Abraham, over 90 years old before God finally began to use him and bless him and be an instrument through him. And so the faith is the key that unlocks the power of God in our lives. And we saw last week that faith begins with an attitude of expectancy. When we live our lives by faith, I'm wondering, are we living by expectancy? Are we expecting God to do something? Are we expecting God to bless? Are we expecting God to create His work in us and through us? Choosing to expect God's best in every situation, in every problem that comes our way. And so the key word is choosing, because God has, after all, created us with what we call free will. And faith is really a choice we make under the power of the Spirit of God. But that's not all it is. There's much more to faith than just working up a positive mental attitude. And that's what a lot of people think it is, just a mental attitude. It is just how you wake up in the morning and you want to be able to have a positive view of the day. There was a writer back in the 1950s who wrote a book. His name was Norman Vincent Peale. And he wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And we're not talking about that kind of faith, even though faith is positive. That kind of positive thinking is really positive thinking in line with your doing, not God's doing. God is not brought into the picture of it. When I first began exploring the concept of how faith works, I had the idea that faith would be a very strong feeling in my heart and in my spirit, that it would manifest itself in certainty, that it would manifest itself in my heart and in my spirit, that it would be devoid of any sentiments of doubt whatsoever. I thought that when I became a person of great faith, I could pray for a specific miracle at times, and I would know and I would feel that God was about to do a great thing. I somehow had it a little bit backwards, though. Here's the problem. I had the idea that faith is a feeling. Faith is a feeling. That faith resides in your gut. That faith is what you can conjure up. That faith is how you can excite yourself into doing things that are beyond what you normally do, or hoping for things that are beyond what you normally hope for. You see, sometimes I was able to do it. I was able to work myself up into some kind of a spiritual frenzy, and sometimes I wasn't. When my prayers weren't answered in the right way, I would think, I must have not felt enough. I must have not been in a proper spirit. My level of emotions was probably not where it should have been. I was going about it the wrong way. And I want you to understand that faith is not something you feel. You see, that's the way a lot of us operate. It's a lot of the way a lot of Christians operate. That faith somehow is a feeling. But faith is something you decide. Okay? Are you with me? Faith is something you decide. It's something you do. And that's what the scriptures tell us. It's a choice you make to think a certain way and to act a certain way. You see, when you want to engage your faith, it's not about engaging your feelings. You see, our feelings can let us down. Our feelings can disappoint us. Our feelings can get us in a rut. Our feelings can just be something that is not accurate and is false. You see, it's about engaging your thoughts. It's about engaging your actions, not your feelings. And that's why last week we talked about how faith begins with an attitude of expectancy. This week I want us to look at how we can express our faith through what we do. And this is why James chapter 2 is such an amazing passage of scripture when it comes to this whole idea. In verse number 14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" What's the good of that? It's kind of like, you know, speaking in the dark. It's kind of like blowing false vibes. He says, "Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister," he gives an illustration here. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well and fed,' but does nothing about his physical need, what good is that?" And we can make that very, very practical to our situation as well. Suppose someone walked into the door here this morning, and that person, we could tell right off the bat, that person was destitute, that person was in bad shape, that person perhaps hasn't slept a couple of nights and just a mess. You know, what would we do? Would we say, "Just welcome, find a seat"? Or would we say, "Okay, let me take you out and buy you a new set of clothes. Let me take you out and give you a good meal"? Would that be the thing to do? And so that's really what James is talking about here, putting our faith into action. Faith is something we decide, and it's something we do. He says, faith by itself, in verse 17, look at what it says. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. And then a few verses later, in verse 26, he says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." And we know that faith does not save, or that works does not save us. Works does not save us. Let's get that straight. That it is by grace you've been saved through faith. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It's by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, he says. Works means corresponding actions. So, faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's useless. Faith without corresponding actions is D-E-A-D. It is gone. It is, It is dead as can be. It is dead as dead can be. And he doesn't say that faith without corresponding feelings is dead. He doesn't say that faith without an emotional rush is dead. He says that faith without works, without corresponding actions, is dead. Dead as a doorknob. Dead as can be. And so if you want to ignite your faith, if you want to put a little spark in your faith, you back it up by what you do, by what you're involved in, by what you're engaged in, by your serving, your attitude of serving, by your attitude of loving other people, by your attitude of being the person God wants you to be in such a time as this. So today I wanted to talk to you about three ways we can begin to put our faith into action. Very briefly, let me share them with you this morning. Number one, listen to this. We need to take action that's consistent with what you're asking for. You need to take action consistent for what you're asking for. A few years ago, a friend of mine was facing some very serious health issues. I mean, it was bad. He was so hard on himself because he wouldn't look after himself. The entire church was praying that God would miraculously intervene and heal him. I mean, if he didn't do something about his health situation, you know, people were already talking about his funeral. It was just that bad. One reason he was so sick was that he had a number of bad lifestyle habits that was not conducive to good health at all. And he was sedentary, he was much overweight, and he lived on nothing but pork and refined sugar. Now, anybody that lives on pork and refined sugar for a long time, it would certainly catch up to him. When the doctor told him that he had to clean up his act, he resisted it entirely. He pretty well told that doctor to go take a hike. His family said to him, "Dad, you've got to start taking better care of yourself. Or else, we're not going to have a dad any longer. Or else, you know, it's going to be a sad day coming up very soon." And he said, "Well, if God gets me through this, I promise, then I'll get serious about my health." So, Lord, he was saying, "You got to do your thing first before I'll do my thing." And his daughter said, "Dad, God won't heal you until you get serious about your health, until you start making some lifestyle choices that are good for you." And then he said, "But what's the point of my giving up the food I like? I'm just going to die anyway." That's a pretty bleak outlook. It's a pretty bleak attitude to have. I'll tell you what my friend did. He decided to start doing now what he would be doing later if his health got better. He gave up some of those sugars and pork, all those things. He gave up pizza and donuts, and he started to take walks, and he started to get healthy. And before too long, he was getting there. For years, he had been sleeping in a reclining chair with the TV blaring all night. And now he began to sleep in his own bed. And he began to feel good about himself. He began to think good about himself. He started living today as if he would be living if he had his health back. And you know what? He began feeling better. He began to look as though he was feeling better because it was rubbing off on other people. His turnaround was so dramatic to be anything less than miraculous. He wasn't able to do it on his own. He had encouragement along the way. He believed that God was helping him out. And before too long, he was doing well. And he was relying on the power of God to restore his health. And his corresponding actions increased the power of his faith. There are things that you are believing God to accomplish in your life, and we all are. We need to ask ourselves, which actions can I take that are consistent with what I'm asking God to do? What actions are consistent with what I'm asking God to do. We have a tendency to say, when if God solves this problem, then I'll get serious. I'll get serious about doing right. When and if God heals my relationship with my family or my marriage or whatever, I'll be a better husband. When and if God gives me a better paying job, I will be a harder working employee. When and if God resolves my financial problems, I'll start being more generous. And when and if God heals my body, I'll start taking care of myself. Well, I think a lot of it we've got backwards. And we need to understand that there will never be a win until we start taking consistent action. This is the first key to igniting our faith. It really is. We need to take action that's consistent with what we are trusting God to do. The second thing is this. We need to take action even when we aren't sure of the end result. Even when we don't know what's ahead. Even though we may not have any idea of what's coming around the bend, we need to take action. You see, my friend started taking steps to improve his health even though he wasn't sure he would get better. He realized that he could even die in the process of trying to get himself better. Frankly, there was a chance that he would give up pizza and die anyway, but he decided that it was a chance he would take. He decided that it was an opportunity that he would take advantage of, and he realized that even though he had no guarantee, he was going to push forward anyway, and he was going to put his faith and trust in God who was able to help him through. Very few things in life come with a guarantee. We know that death and taxes are two things that will come. We know that for the believer that we do have this guarantee that when we breathe our last, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. We have that guarantee. But we can't guarantee what's ahead tomorrow. We can't guarantee what the stock market is going to be on Monday, even though it almost crashed on Friday. We can't guarantee any of that stuff. We can't guarantee what the doctor may tell you when you go to your next doctor's appointment. One of the ways we express faith is to take action, even when we don't have certainty about how things will turn out. I have no idea how things are going to turn out. I have no idea as to what's going to be turning out for me 30 days down the road. Only God knows that. Since this is Father's Day, I want to tell you about my dad, a little story about him. My dad was 85 years old when he passed away, back in 2014. And he smoked about 65 years of his life. We were always after him to give up smoking. We would say, "Dad, you got to quit smoking. Dad, you got to give up those cigarettes." And the more we talked to him, it seemed the more he smoked. And he would often leave the house and get a little bit upset. And he'd go out and he'd talk to the cows, because at times he felt the only ones that would ever listen to him were the cows up in the barn. And so he would smoke away. He would have what he called make-ems. He would roll his own cigarettes. He'd roll them up and he'd smoke them, one after the other. And then he went to a doctor because he was feeling some congestion. He was feeling some problems were developing with his breathing. And the doctor told him, "You've got emphysema." And it was that emphysema that kind of set him back a little bit. And he began to say, "If only I would have known this 40 years ago, maybe I'd have quit smoking. If only I would have looked after myself a little better, then maybe I wouldn't be in this predicament that I'm in today." And so it was his smoking that caught up to him. And one day, without even telling anybody, he would have all his tobacco out in the barn. That's where he hid everything. And he took it and he threw it away into the woods. And We noticed a day or two later, Dad, how come you're not smoking? And he didn't tell anybody, but he said, I quit. I quit smoking. I quit. Now, how did you do that, Dad? Well, he said, you know, I just said enough is enough. I just got to stop because it's hurting me. It's killing me. And so he gave up smoking. And it might have been too late for him because he had to deal with all the consequences of his bad behavior for some 65 years before that, because he did develop emphysema, and it was getting pretty bad. At the very last, he was on an oxygen machine before he passed away, and he was struggling. And it really was his emphysema that created so many other problems and so many other issues that led to his ultimate death. But he came to that point in his life where he realized that I have to do something. I have to take action. And we were proud of him for doing that, but we wished he would have done it 60 years before that. We wished he would have done it a long time before that. And so it was a tough struggle to be able to deal with that. But, you know, God bless him, he certainly finally got the message, even though it might have been a little bit late. But he took action. And he, you know, he took a risk that perhaps him quitting smoking might turn out to be something that would give him even a few more years. But it didn't turn out that way. You see, it's not how life works. Sometimes we don't get the results we want. If faith was like a rigged slot machine and that pays off 100% of the time, it wouldn't be faith. Faith means taking action in spite of the risk that's involved. There's risk when it comes to living this life called faith. There's risk when it comes to dealing with health issues and dealing with relationship issues and everything else. The Christian life especially is a life of risk, but it's a life to be lived by faith. You see, we have something as Christians that the world does not have, and that is Jesus Christ. We have something that people around us do not have, and it's faith. It's faith in Christ. It's faith in who He is, in what He's done, in what He wants to do. It's faith knowing that in Him we live and move and have our being, that all is dependent upon Him in every sense of the word. And so there will be times when we take action and when we step out in faith. We don't get the results we want. My dad wanted the results to come back so that he was told he was no longer a person that had emphysema. And it didn't work out that way for him. But we still need to take steps. We need to step out in the dark, if you will. We need to step out in faith. Even when there's a good chance we may have to suffer a bit in the process. We demonstrate our faith when we're willing to step into uncertainty and endure even sometimes hardship along the way. That's the way our forefathers lived. That's what they endured. And if you want any kind of lessons at all as to what real hardship was, talk to some of the older folks, and they'll get some good stories. The third thing is this. We need to take action even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like it. There are days that I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't know about you. There are days when I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I can't let my feelings draw me down or drag me down. I have to go and do what I need to do, and I need to step out in faith. There will be times when we step out in faith and we catch ourselves thinking, what's the use? This isn't fun. Who would ever sign me up for this? This isn't easy. This doesn't feel good. So why should I get myself messed up in this at all? Well, that's what it is to take action. That's what it is to live by faith. It's living by faith every step of the way, every single day, even when we don't feel like it. Again, don't let your feelings take the best of you. There will be times when you say, I'm trusting God to provide financially, when he may not. There are times when you may be saying, I'm trusting God to heal my broken relationships with people that I love, and that may not happen. Or I'm trusting God to create a bond between my children and I, but today I just feel like yelling at him. Or there may be times I'm trusting God to heal my finances. There'll be times when you just don't feel like taking the step of faith, following through on what James says is corresponding actions. Corresponding actions. Here's what I believe about that. I believe that God is pleased when all the steps of faith, with all the steps of faith we take, whatever it might be, even if it's a small step, even if it's a sense in which we have faith the size of a mustard seed, I believe God is pleased with that. And that's what James says in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith is something that pleases God all the way. It makes him happy. You see, those steps that we take in the face of uncertainty, in the face of fear, earn us that extra mileage, you might say. And the steps we take in the face of discouragement, in the steps of frustration, or just plain stubborn, sinful resistance will earn us a lot of extra mileage. And by extra mileage, I'm not saying more brownie points with God. I'm not saying anything like that at all, but will give us strength, God's power, God's joy, God's sense of fulfillment, God's sense of satisfaction. You see, God is especially pleased when we choose to live by faith and not by feelings. I don't know how many times I need to say that. That was something drilled in me when I was a student at Tyndale University in Toronto. It was something every single day we heard about, that faith is not our feelings, but it's stepping forth, stepping ahead in obedience to Christ and in obedience to his word. You see, it's not something we feel. It's something you decide. It's something we do. And so we need to put action to our faith. Wherever we see that need, whether it be in our church, if we see a need to reach people in our community for Christ, we need to put action to that. We need to put wheels to that. Whatever it might be. I just remind you of what faith is in the first place. If we use the acrostic faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith is forsaking all. I trust him. Forsaking all. I trust Christ. I trust Jesus. That's what it is. Begin to do things that are consistent with what we're asking for. Make decisions as if God has already healed us, blessed us, changed us, and on. We continue to follow the plan of those decisions even when the outcome is uncertain. Even when the road gets bumpy. And the road is bumpy right now. The road is very bumpy out in this world before us when we leave this place today. And it will be bumpy tomorrow. And it will be bumpy next week. And on. We need to press on for the prize of the high calling that we have in Christ through Jesus Christ our Lord, as Paul says in the book of Philippians. And we don't let discouragement, we don't let laziness stop us from missing out on God's plan, remembering that his plan is better than our plan. His ways are greater than your ways. His thoughts are greater than your thoughts. That's what the Word of God tells us. And those are the promises that we have. And we need to listen to those promises Faith is not something we feel, so we don't have to worry about whether our feelings are strong or weak or sure or unsure. Don't need to worry about that. Our faith isn't expressed in our feelings, it's expressed in our actions. Again, faith is something we decide, it's something you do. Have you taken that step of faith yet in Christ? Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've never really truly trusted Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. I'd invite you to do that today, to speak with someone about what that means. I assume most of the time that most of us here, all of us are believers in Christ, but then again, sometimes there's doubt. Sometimes there's just a lack of understanding on our part. So have we taken that greatest step of faith and invited Christ to be Lord and Savior of our lives? I trust you have. If you haven't, please come see me. We'll talk about it. And I believe that God's Word has something good to say to you today. So let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you that faith is action. Thank you for these corresponding actions that we're able to be a part of when we exercise our faith, and how we see that faith being manifest in your goodness and your grace. Lord, you are so gracious to us. You are so loving to us, Father. Help us, we pray, to live by faith, not by feelings. Help us, Lord, to put our trust totally in you and you alone, and believe, Lord, that you are able to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And for this, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing together just a couple of verses. First two verses of Faith is the Victory.
Thank you. bottom line.